Welcome, I'm Melissa Durda, and this is Synergo's Cultivate the Soul podcast, stories of purpose-driven philanthropy from around the world. Over this series, we explore together the intersection of contemplative practices, spirituality, philanthropy, and social impact. Join us as we dive into the personal journey of each guest and what they have discovered about the role of inner work on one's capacity to change the world. To learn more about each of our guests and view the full episode list, please visit synergos.org/podcast.
Hi, my name is Rodney McKenzie Jr. I'm with the Fetzer Institute, and I cultivate my soul by being in deep relationship with other people, sharing who I am, my dreams and my hopes, and hearing it from other people as well.
Today, we are joined by Rodney McKenzie Jr., Vice President of Allied Development at the Fetzer Institute. In this role, Rodney is building community inside and outside of Fetzer. Within Fetzer, the Allied Development team dare to take a bold stance that philanthropy, at its best, is centered in love, spirit, and the sacred mystery. Beyond Fetzer, they develop transformative relationships with leaders in the philanthropic community in order to create the openness, vulnerability, and genuine care that is required to have real conversations about what we want for our future. Rodney's full bio is available on our podcast website. Well, Rodney, I'm so happy to have you back on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you.
Well, I want to get us started by looking at the theme of love in action, which is a special series that we've been doing on the podcast in partnership with Fetzer. And I want to get us started with the question around the meaning of the word of philanthropy. It comes from two Greek words, philein, meaning love, and anthropos, meaning humankind. So in this, philanthropy means the love of humanity. What is your reflection on this?
I think that at its best, philanthropy is rooted in love. You know, what does it mean to be someone and realize that your neighbors or that your community has a need, and you being willing to use your resources to meet that very need? Love is rooted in this idea that I care so much about you, that I want you to flourish, that I want you to be able to have an experience of a life that is wonderful and outrageously joyful, and that we utilize our resources to support individuals in actually having what they need to flourish. And I think that's the beauty of love. Love is just not a pop song, right? Like, love is a thing, a way of being that is put into action. And so love is a doing, a beingness. It's a verb. And I think that's what philanthropy is at its best. It is the verb. It's the action of love, utilizing resources to support individuals, culture, community, and the world to be at its best.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And in your work and in your life, maybe beyond your work, but I know that you're focusing on this in your work as well. Do you see philanthropy as being redefined today? And if so, how?
Yeah, I think of philanthropy as remembering who and what it is. You know, that's the beautiful thing about life. I think one of the things I remember thinking about when I was a pastor of a church is that life is a constant cycle of forgetting and remembering. And I think we're in a moment of remembering as we look at the world, as we look at what's happening in the world, as we look, as we see the division, as we see people in harm and struggling and in deep sadness, as we look at the world and realize that there's something missing, philanthropy is remembering its core, remembering the call. And so it's almost like, I think, the world is calling out for all of us to remember what our name is, remembering that we are good, remembering that we can be the very best that we have been called to be. And I think that is what's happening in philanthropy. So people are waking up to, how can I give differently that answers the call in our world? And I think that is a process of remembering that at the very core and that the essence of what philanthropy is about, it's about love. It's not just about just giving. Like, I can give you a dollar and be mad and angry about it, right? I can be charitable, right? But love, doing it in love, and thinking about and situating ourselves and ensuring that we are all good. And what allows us to be good, it allows for our resources to be maximized in a way that allows the world to be different and to see itself and understand itself as different because of our remembering what philanthropy is really about.
And I think we've spoken before about our shared kind of view that we all have this ability, we as humans, to love each other and to act in these ways of giving to each other. And we're also both working in the space of working with those who have substantial means to give as private philanthropists. So we're also looking at it from that lens in terms of philanthropy. In your role as Vice President of Allied Development at FETSER, you state that philanthropy at its best is centered in love, spirit, and the sacred mystery, and that you're working to develop transformative relationships with leaders in the philanthropic community. Can you tell us more how you're doing this?
You know, one of the things that I think about often is that we live in a world in which it is so easy to other each other. It's such an easy way that we can feel guilty, or we can support people in feeling guilty or feeling shameful for what they have and for what they don't have. And I think that's such a shame that all of us have different gifts and different opportunities to support the world in being a much better and a much more profound place so that all of us can flourish and have outrageously amazing lives. And so what my work is about and what we're doing at FETSER is really supporting philanthropists and engaging in that conversation. Like, how do I give from a place of not guilt and shame, but from a place that is rooted in love and rooted in the mystery of spirit, which is really about this mystery of that which is unnameable, that which is bigger than all things, that really calls us to be more of love and joy and power and ease and all the goodness that this world really is about. And so I think our work is about connecting and supporting philanthropists and remembering that truth, moving beyond the guilt and the shame and being rooted in the power and the opportunity of utilizing all of our resources for a common good that we all can have powerful and amazing lives. And that's what this work and that's what the team that I lead at Allied Development is actually doing. You know, the number of people I meet every day who are struggling with what they see in the news and what they see in the world, the promises that have been made that one more election cycle is going to make the difference, that's going to change and transform everything. And that election happens and we realize actually we're still in a tough situation, in a tough experience. But how do we use our resources to go beyond the problem? But what's the problem behind the problem? And the problem behind the problem, we believe, is this lack of love and activating our resources to root out and to support people in experiencing a profound love, a capital L love that is so transformative that allows us to remember how good we are and allows us to experience and treat each other as good and allows for policies and the world to be shaped in the goodness of love, which can change and transform, we believe, everything.
Yeah. Capital L love.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Great. Yeah. How are you finding this is resonating with the people that you're meeting and speaking to? You know, there's two parts of this work, and I want to get into the part around the role of love in addressing complex problems. But as we're still talking about on the philanthropy side, what kind of reaction are you getting? Are people in this space? Are they excited to learn that this space exists? Or is it resonating with them, but they felt they were maybe alone? I'm really curious your experience digging deep into this big L love in this field.
Yeah, I think, you know, my experience is when people hear about and when I talk about love, there's a couple of reactions, right? One is a nervousness around it, a nervousness around is love winnable? Is love possible in the moment that we're in? And there's almost a deep suspicion of love. And I'm so curious about what it means that we live in a society, in a world right now, where we could be suspicious of love. Like the very thing that we all crave is like the thing that we're the most nervous about and sometimes worried about. So I experience a subset of folks who are nervous about it. And it's not because they don't believe in love. It is because they've had experiences in which love has harmed them. There's an experience in which we almost have to unlearn the ways that we have been loved. For some, not all, but for some, we have been in families and in communities that told us they loved us and broke our hearts. For some of us, not all of us, we have experienced political or people in leadership that said they loved us and did the opposite of love. And so for some, to even use the word love, people have suspicion and nervousness about it because of, again, the way they've experienced love. And I think what I am offering is how do we hold and how do we honor those past experiences, heal those past experiences, and do something different, right? So A, there's a subset of us that need to unlearn and have healing around our past experiences of love. And there's a different set of folks who this is the very thing they've been wanting more than anything, to experience love in the public square. The same love that they may have for families or for friends. How do they have that experience, that transformative, radical experience of love in their giving, in the political square, in the public square? Like there's folks that are hungry for that. I haven't met many people that have rejected love. Like who rejects love? But there's a nervousness sometimes about it. A worriedness about it. Like, how is it going to be demonstrated? And my question is for all of us, right, is that if we are divesting in love, how will we ever see the power and the possibility of love? And we have to take a chance on this thing, which is so profound, which is so at the heart of what we all are and what we all want. We have to invest in it so that we can experience a different kind of love in the public square that is radically transformative to our society. So I think, you know, there's a range of feelings and experiences, and I have been moved at how folks have been shocked to have a fellow philanthropist talk about love and like wanting to get closer to it and wanting to think about how they can do their philanthropy from the very value set that we're all, I think, hungry.
And so it sounds like, are you creating peer settings to hold space for these conversations?
Yeah, so we are doing like salons, like old school salons, where we bring 20 to 25 people together to talk about love and to think about how does love pierce through in our philanthropy. We're doing dinners. I'm doing one-on-one conversations with donors about it. We're doing like convenings and supporting different donor networks to have conversations around love, faith, and spirit. So we're really like creating spaces for people to have this conversation around love, to expand their imagination about what love means in their philanthropy, and then creating the spaces for people can actually actualize that experience of love in their philanthropic giving. And I think that's the thing about love, right? It's like love without works. Is it love? I don't know about you, but I have been in relationships where people have told me they loved me and did the opposite of that. And that's not necessarily helpful. But how do we be about love and how do we then do love in our philanthropic giving is what we're really interested in doing.
Oh, that's great. And that leads to me where I also want to go with this around the action side of things. What role can love play then in the philanthropy space as action? And would you have maybe an example or two so we can kind of put some, you know, meat on the bones around this? Like, well, what does this look like?
You know, when I think about philanthropy and love, I think about love being the very grounding in which we do our philanthropy. An example is for me, you know, there's so many folks who are giving because they want to fight back. Or they're giving because they've been hurt, right? And there's a way, there's an energy to it. There's like a way in which the tactics then are about pain. The tactics are about revenge. The tactics are about getting, you know, back at someone. How does that support our society? Like we are, if the tactic is infused with revenge, then what we're going to see out in the world is going to look like revenge. But what happens when we are at a space of healing, at a space of like good for humanity, when we're at a space of like a radical love that allows us to be our best and to flourish? What are the kind of organizations that we fund that are living that out in the public square? And how does that support our imagination of what is possible in our world from an ethos of love, capital L love? And so I think about groups, right? Like when you can fund from love, you find groups like, you know, Ajaya Youth that is doing work in the school systems, and they're supporting young people in the Bronx and in Brooklyn and across New York City with teaching them how to meditate, teaching them how to remember that they are loved and that they are worthy, and teaching these young folks these words of value, and they're living out those values in these school systems, and they're teaching each other when there's a challenge, they meditate together and not fight. And when there are big protests are happening, you have young people who are in circles meditating for peace, meditating for love. And that is like a transformative way of doing their work, so that we have young people that become the adults, that become the policymakers, who are rooting their work in a value of love, in a value of joy, in a value of peace, versus a value of revenge, or versus or a value of getting back at someone. And so like as we do our work as philanthropists, think about love, we find institutions, or we're willing to fund organizations that are rooted in the very values of love, who are doing powerful work, whether that's versus in climate, like the organizations that are doing climate work around infused with love and faith and the possibilities of what our world could look like when we value love and we then treat our lands from that place of love. To folks who are doing work around criminal justice, who are working in prisons and supporting folks who are in prison, who are formerly incarcerated, to remember that they are loved and forgiven. But I think there's a way in which, as we root ourselves in love, we find institutions and organizations and individuals who are leaning in and are living from that very value proposition, and they're creating organizations, institutions, policies that are rooted, again, not in revenge, but rooted in the possibilities of a radical love that allows for all of us to flourish.
I love hearing those examples, and it makes me think that we're all working within an ecosystem. So you also shared examples beyond, not beyond philanthropy, but the ecosystem that philanthropy is a part of, because it's not a singular space, right? It's all interconnected. So also in doing this work through this particular group of people is also supporting a wider ecosystem and connecting to those groups who are also serving from a place of love.
Yes, I think philanthropy is, it is not a siloed proposition. Philanthropy is connected to all the challenges. I mean, all of the particularities of our society and in our world. And so philanthropy affects art. Philanthropy affects culture. Philanthropy connects with politics. Philanthropy connects with policy, relationships, self-worth and self-value, education, all of these things. Philanthropy cuts across all of it. And if that is true, if philanthropy cuts across all of it, the question then becomes for me that what we see in the world is also a reflection of what we have been doing and how we hold ourselves to understand the role of philanthropy. And so philanthropy has, it is necessary. Philanthropy must reimagine and actually look at itself and ask itself, how am I participating in what we're seeing in the world? And if we don't like what we're seeing, how do we go back? How do we reexamine how we are doing it? And are we doing it in love? Or are we contributing to what we're seeing out in the world right now?
Yeah. That's why it's so important to have these spaces for reflection and discussion and peer models around this. So if we look at today's world, I mean, you touched on this earlier. What do you think are some of our greatest challenges and tensions? And what can love do to help address them?
You know, when I look out in the world right now, I see a lot of things. Some of them are amazingly joyful and some of them are particularly disturbing. I see in spaces where there's a belief that there's a zero sum in society. Like if you have something, then I can't. There's a belief in division. There's a way in which we believe that our neighbors are not for us. They're against us. There's a way in which we are experiencing just this high division that is happening at every level of our society. And this idea that you are worthy only if you have, and if you don't have, you're not worthy. And I think that what philanthropy can do is support the kind of work that heals those misbeliefs, that can heal those ideas that are not true in the biggest way of truth, right? So because we know that facts aren't necessarily the truth, and that we can shift the facts, we can transform what we see through some concrete actions. And I think philanthropy can fund the kind of work that allows us to remember that we are connected, that your destiny and my destiny are tied up with each other, that we do not have to compete, that there's enough. There's a way in which we can really heal any and all of that division by being philanthropists who are giving to issues or giving to people and organizations or giving to the ideas that bring us together in beautiful ways.
Yes. And I love how you've actually brought me into my last question was around the future and our hope for the future. And I think you've touched on this, but is there something more you'd like to add there and how you envision through this work you're doing, the shifts that are going to take place in the near future, near and far future, wherever you want to go with that, but what do you hope to see?
I'm from South Dallas, Texas. My grandmother was a janitor. My grandmother was highly religious and spiritual. And I remember on summer days, my grandmother like rocking back and forth in her, you know, green metallic rocking chair, singing songs that we are needed, that we are connected, singing songs, religious songs, that she was a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'll never forget that. And my grandmother in those days would say over and over again that our job is to heal the world, that we are required, that each of us, that all of her 12 black and brown grandchildren were required to make the world better. And what I took from those moments was that I had a responsibility. I have a responsibility, and that we have a responsibility in crafting a new world, in a world in which we could all have outrageous and amazing lives. And my hope, and what I see and what I'm thinking about the most these days is how do we all realize that we have a responsibility in creating the world that my grandmother, this poor black woman, working class woman, the dream that she had. How are we all connected and necessary to fulfill the dreams that our grandmothers, that our grandparents, that those that have come before us, the dreams that they had, the aspirations that they have put inside of us? How do we see that our role is making that real? That we have been implanted, we have been given a gift, an imagination to create a world in which not just our children, but everyone's children can have a really good life and a meaningful life. And I think what I am seeing and what I dream of is philanthropists who are so in love with the possibilities of a world that is joyful, a world in which allows people to flourish, a world in which we can be together and be with each other and even disagree, but still respect and love and adore each other and want the best for each other. I'm really wanting and dreaming of a philanthropy, philanthropists that are rooted in that idea and that want to make that happen together. And that we are clear that if you are not free, I am not free, that our destinies are entangled with each other and that are using everything they have, their time, their resources, and their love to be able to demonstrate that world now. And that, I think, it creates a new world. And that is what I think our world is calling forth right now. Philanthropists that are not ashamed of having, not feeling guilt about having, but feel a burning desire to utilize it for the good of all humanity.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt you are contributing already, have contributed and continue to contribute to that vision. So Rodney, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing this with us. How can people learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, you can learn more by going to fetzer.org, fetzer.org, and you can hear more about this work. And I just want to name that I'm so clear that, and I'm so like excited about Fetzer's work, but I'm also just so moved and just blown away by the work of Synergos and the work that Synergos does, because my experience of Synergos is an organization that is demonstrating love and with donors across the world. And Melissa, you are like my role model in how to do that with fierceness and with brilliance. So I'm all about that and so grateful that I get to anytime be in conversation with you.
Well, thank you, Rodney. We appreciate and love the partnership with you. And I feel like every time I speak with you, I'm not only inspired, I learned so many new things. So thank you, Rodney.
Thank you.
What I loved about this conversation is learning about how at Fetzer, they are strengthening the ecosystem of philanthropy to be rooted in love. How philanthropists can use all of the resources available to them for a common good.